The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Today I shall talk to you about casting out demons, what is necessary to get it done. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy holy truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text today is from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I shall read it to you, beginning with verse 14. It says here, "And when he," that is Jesus, "came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answers him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, O Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Well, friends, what we have before us is a story of a son of a boy who had a dumb spirit. It means that this young man could not speak. Early in his life, a demon got into him and shut him down, so he could not say a word anymore. Now let me ask you, is it possible that there was so much potential in this young man to speak for Jesus, for the glory of the Lord, that the devil had shut him down since he was a little boy? The story goes on. Then Jesus came, and he cast out this dumb spirit, and the young man began to speak. And I'm sure that he began to speak for the glory of the Lord. Now let's have a look at the story more closely. Remember that last week I told you that Jesus took three of his disciples with him to the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus' garment and Jesus' countenance was changed to become exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can make them. And there Jesus, with Peter and James and John, visited with Elijah and Moses. Then the Lord and the three disciples, the Transfiguration party, come down from this mount. And they observe that there is an interesting scene before them. The other nine disciples had gotten into a meeting while Jesus and his group were on the Mount of Transfiguration. These other nine got into a meeting with a father of a son who had a dumb spirit. And of course, when these nine disciples tried to cast out this evil spirit, a great multitude gathered about them. Let's notice now what happened next. Our text tells us in verse 15, when the people saw Jesus coming from the mount, it says, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed. Now that gets my attention. The word amazed is used seven times in the Gospel of Mark, and in each case
Mark uses that word, something very unusual happened. But this text tells us in verse 15 that when the people at the bottom of this mountain saw Jesus this time, they were greatly amazed. And the question is, what caused them to be greatly amazed? This is the only place in the whole Bible where people were greatly amazed. Listen, Jesus had not said a word yet. Jesus had not done a miracle yet. He just showed up. And it says, just by him showing up, they were all greatly amazed at him. And that is, him having come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he still had a good part of the glory of the Lord upon his countenance. And so, as when Moses came down the mount, that the glory of the Lord was so much upon his countenance that people could not look at him. Well, so much for a wonderful meeting that the Lord Jesus had on the mount. But now, he needs to get back to work, facing reality. When Jesus got to this crowd, he made an inquiry as to what was going on. And he was told by the father of the son with a dumb spirit that he had taken his son to those 9 disciples to have the demon cast out, and they could not. My friend, did you ever see a bunch of preachers gathering around someone who was sick or who needed a demon cast out? And one prays, and another prays, and another prays, and nothing happens. Then someone prays a little louder. Another one prays yet louder. Another one quotes scriptures. Another one exhorts that we need to have faith. And it goes on, and there's more and more effort put out to get the job done. It happened to many of us that we have seen such an event, and the bottom line was, as it was here, they could not. They could not. Oh, what an embarrassment. It behooves us to find out what the problem was. Why these 9 disciples of Jesus who had been sent out before and who had cast out devils and healed the sick before now could not do it. So, that was a complaint of the Father. Now, what is Jesus' response to this whole situation? In verse 19, at least that's where Jesus' response begins. Jesus answers the Father and says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? I want you to notice here something very important. Who is Jesus addressing here? Who is Jesus rebuking here? Just the preachers or everyone else also? He says, how long do I have to put up with you? You would think that Jesus singularly put the weight, put the blame of the failure on these intimate ones, these 9 ones. But please observe carefully, this word from the scripture says, O faithless generation. That means that Jesus does not put the weight, the blame of the failure on the 9 disciples alone, but he put the whole weight of why this miracle did not occur in this instance, why this deliverance did not come on the whole generation of Israel. Not on 9 men, but on all men who were in the meeting, and as a matter of fact, on the whole country. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Or put up with you. So, my friend, this ought to make us wise up when preachers earnestly, sincerely try to pray for someone to be healed or to have a demon cast out, that it is not necessarily their fault when nothing happens. And in this case, Jesus put the blame on everybody who was there in that multitude. Everyone was falling short in faith in God, was falling short in devotion to God, was falling short in prayer, and that's why the miracle didn't happen. How often does a congregation just sit there doing nothing while the preachers try their best to be of help to somebody? Oh, dear ones, what would happen in the church if all the people in a congregation would believe if all would be holy, if all would pray. I'll tell you what would happen. The same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost and the weeks following, my friend, that everyone was being healed and everyone was being delivered. I can see how Jesus would say the same words to many of our congregations, O faithless generation. Now let's go on. The next thing that happened. The son with a dumb spirit was brought to Jesus. And it says, as soon as the spirit saw Jesus, he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at his feet. My friend, Jesus didn't say a word. He didn't say a single word. And that man with the evil spirit fell at his feet. Oh, what I see here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the mighty conqueror, and the devil at his feet. Glory to God. So, there are perhaps three elements I'm talking to you about this day, very briefly, that we need for a miracle. Corporate faith, corporate holiness, and then something else. Just hold on. So Jesus was the most holy man, the most holy man on the face of the earth that ever was, ever will be. And he was confronting the devil himself. He was the most wicked of all the wicked, and the devil fell at Jesus' feet. Hallelujah. So whenever holiness, purity, meets up with iniquity, there's going to be an emotional reaction as there was here. Holiness will always triumph. So when Jesus cast out this evil spirit, this demon, the man was delivered, and on the way home, back to, it says, the house, the disciples asked Jesus, why could not we cast him out? So you see here that Jesus asked one thing of the multitude that he did not get, and that was faith. And he asked another thing on top of faith from his disciples that he did not get. And that was, he expected them, my friend, to have prayer, to have more prayer in their lives. So this is why we have this kind, speaking to his disciples, cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. So the third element now is, for the demon to be cast out, in this case, it took faith, it took holiness, and it took men who were accustomed to meet God in prayer every day, sometimes early before the sun was up, sometimes all day and sometimes all night. And this, my friend, would have brought out a victory for this kind of demonic affliction under these circumstances. Now, some of you say, but Pastor, what about fasting? Didn't Jesus say, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting? Well, the word fasting here is not found in the oldest manuscripts of the Bible, and it was probably because some person who felt very excited about fasting, some scribe, put it in there later on. No, it should not be there, because recall, Jesus said, my disciples do not and shall not fast while the bridegroom is still with them. And so Jesus would not have blamed his disciples for not having fasted when they were not supposed to have done so. So, hallelujah. There are three elements that work powerfully together to produce miracles. The one is faith. The other one is holiness. And the third one is much prayer. My friend, give yourself to all three of these, and nothing shall be impossible to you. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time over the same station. Goodbye now. Until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.